Mr. Harris, would you please introduce the next item?
Item 13 is options for enforcement of Los Osos Basin prohibition. I should note that you are going to read a statement. This is going to be a formal hearing item. It's a discussion regarding enforcement of the Los Osos prohibition zone. The chair has a statement that we need you to read. And then Mr. Packard has a very short introductory presentation, after which the board can deliberate on what you would like to do.
Yeah, and I do have also speaker cards. I also have speaker cards on this item, Mr. Harris. So I'm going to read an opening statement for this item 13, options for enforcement of Los Osos Basin plan prohibition. This is the time and place for a hearing of a Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board to consider whether to terminate the cease and desist orders and cleanup and abatement orders, collectively orders, that the Central Coast Water Board previously issued to individuals in Los Osos to require compliance with a basin plan prohibition on waste discharges. At this hearing, the Central Coast Water Board may leave the orders in place or may terminate the orders at this time. The Central Coast Water Board will first hear from staff and then interested persons. After all interested persons have testified, the Central Coast Water Board will discuss whether to terminate the orders and then will vote on a motion. Each person who testifies at this hearing shall begin by stating his or her name and address unless the address has already been given. All persons who may testify at this hearing, please stand. Even if you do not plan to testify, so please stand and raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony which you will give in this matter is truth? Answer, I do. Thank you. And please state your name, address, affiliation, and whether you have taken the oath when you'll be testifying. So at this time, evidence should be introduced on the following issues: whether the regional board should terminate the cease and desist order and cleanup and abatement orders issued to individuals in Los Osos to require compliance with a basin plan prohibition on waste discharge. I will now begin the hearing. Mr. Harris.
Mr. Harvey has a, Mr. Packard, excuse me, has a short presentation for you.
Thank you. My name is Harvey Packard, Water Board staff. I just want to reiterate a couple points in your staff report quickly without taking a lot of time. The staff report mentions that some potential enforcement options that the board has available to it to enforce the basin plan prohibition after the county's wastewater system has come online. And we will mainly rely on the county's enforcement of its own ordinance that requires hookup to the sewer. I included a section from the ordinance in the staff report and attached the whole ordinance to the staff report if you're interested in looking at the whole thing. So, the county has the authority to enforce that ordinance. It has the ability to track who is hooking up and who is not hooking up, and will follow up to make sure that homeowners or property owners in their prohibition zone do hook up to the sewer once it becomes available. The county is available here. Mr. Gibson is available to answer questions or provide more detail if the board would like some more detail about what the county can do there. I also provided the options that the board has seen before about the various enforcement options available to it, including some that the board has already taken. As the chair mentioned in his statement, the There is a draft resolution attached to the staff report that, if adopted, would terminate all of the individual orders that the board has adopted over the years in this case. So those are the points that I wanted to reiterate. I'm available to answer questions if necessary.
Mayor Delgado?
Just one question, because it's dominating my thought on this whole issue, and that is something I've asked you before in private, but I want to ask you in public. What is the fairness in this issue to having this CDO on 30 people out of, you know, many hundreds?
Well, whether it's fair or not is something I think the board will have to determine. I will state that it was staff's intent from the beginning to issue orders or have the board issue orders to all homeowners, all property owners in the prohibition zone. That didn't happen, so what we're left is a small, very small portion of the property owners in the prohibition zone.
Okay, thank you. And then my only other question is, do we lose any leverage by discontinuing these CDOs?
Leverage
to gain compliance in the future with
right,
what?
Right. Leverage on the county? Probably not. Leverage on individual homeowners? Possibly. I think it is possible that, you know, again, we're talking about a very small number compared to the total number of property owners, and whether any of these 38 property owners don't plan to connect, I don't know. But I think these individual orders do provide some incentive to make sure they connect. Whether it's a greater incentive than exists for the whole community, I think possibly there is some incremental incentive there, yeah.
Okay, and for the leverage that we might lose with the 32 orders that are still in effect, could that be gained back by doing as your staff report says, you know, if there's a future problem, we can go directly to punitive actions rather than having to go through a CDO process?
That's a good question. If the board does decide to terminate the orders, I would propose that the letter that we send to these property owners includes a statement to that effect, that the board does have that authority if they fail to connect to the sewer.
All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Harvey, does every, you laid out a bunch of options there, but does every option follow the person and not the property, every one of them?
Yes, yeah, okay. All of these authorities are for, you know, against persons, not properties.
And then I'm gonna have some questions for Supervisor Gibson, but from your standpoint, if we were to rescind the orders and down the line the project was completed, and from our perspective, the county either did not prosecute or did not place liens upon properties for whatever reason. They don't have the resources, they don't have the time, they don't have the money. Would the county also be a liable party in actions from the water board?
I could defer to counsel on that, but I would say no. Unless it was a property owned by the county, of course.
We would be taking action against the individuals versus
okay.
the county.
Okay, thank you.
And one of the question I have ties a little bit to what both Mr. Mayor Delgado and Mr. Jordan mentioned is, if we basically remove a cease and desist order, you know, we do certainly have, as the board, of an authority for enforcement later. But currently, I think the mechanics of this project is that the construction of a water treatment plant is the county's responsibility, and I think they're well on their way. the county had responsibility of putting the main lines that went extremely well, in a sense, thanks to a drought. But ultimately, the connections is also the county responsibility to assure that in an orderly fashion, every current septic tank is going to be connected to the sewer system. So when I look on page 2 at the county section 2 of order 3209, the language used says expressly contemplates that the county will develop rules and regulations governing the connection process. The county anticipates that this document will further address the issue of enforcement. I'm not sure if this was lifted from some early draft, but it does not, as language, and provide clear assurance, because the term contemplating certainly is far from, from a little more robust. So is this a draft? Do you have a more robust language that basically would clarify that if a party refused to connect, you know, how you will take, appropriate measure? And you
must be.
Yes, so if you could clarify that, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Bruce Gibson, 2nd District, San Luis Obispo County Supervisor, and I have been sworn. There is no doubt that the county has the authority, the mechanisms, and the will to enforce mandatory connections to this wastewater treatment project when it is available. And as you read within Section 2, I think the very first line of that, within 180 days of being notified that the county's wastewater system is operational and available for connection, the owner of a parcel of land located within the service area, et cetera, must install suitable sanitation facilities in the premise and must connect the facilities to the county wastewater system. It is an epic sentence, but it's very clear that connection is required. And Mr. Packard sent us an email that we have, that I will respond to at this point. Our mechanisms for the enforcement of any county ordinance are enshrined in the state government code, and that's section 25132, which indicates that a violation of a county ordinance is a misdemeanor unless by ordinance it is made an infraction. The violation of a county ordinance may be prosecuted by county authorities in the name of the people of the state of California or redressed by civil action. And I can pass this over to council if they're interested. But we have both civil opportunities and criminal opportunities if necessary. We apply those very tools to our current land use authority enforcement proceedings. If you're interested, can quote you specific examples where we have gone all the way to the criminal prosecution. So there is no doubt that the county will compel connection to the sewer. My reading and my understanding is that your board retains authority under 8313 to issue cease and desist orders for continuing. So we have belt and suspenders, if you will, on this.
Okay. Thank you very much for the clarification, Mr. Gibson. What I would have liked to do is also hear from the testimony cards that we have, and then after that, give us an opportunity to further debate the item and then vote as needed. So I would like to start with Mr. Gibson. Thank you. We'll give you the honor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bruce Gibson again. I'm here today to urge your board to terminate the orders that are before you, as I have on a number of occasions. In the past, I've spoken to you about the very issue raised by Mr. Delgado, the fundamental question of fairness of issuing now 32 cease and desist orders out of some 5,000 potential connections here. Looking at the situation currently, I think any fair assessment is that these orders have little or no functional value at this point. The county is well along in putting this wastewater project together. We have installed 45 miles of pipes in the streets of Los Osos. We are well underway in building the wastewater treatment plant that we expect to start connecting folks to in the first quarter or so of 2016. As such, these activities hold the CDOs and CAOs in abeyance. And so in terms of their functionality, they really have none in that realm. They do act as a significant source of anxiety for those who have received them, and I do believe it's time to lift that cloud. As we look to the future, the rescission of these orders will also act as an important statement of support, both for the community in the efforts that they have put forward to fund an exceptionally expensive, long overdue wastewater project, but also for the county. The county has stepped up here. The county has pursued this project that has been dogged by 30 years of controversy, and we have invested substantially, the community has invested substantially through the county. I would point out, I think there is one actually very specific practical benefit of your lifting these orders for the county, because the county has long contemplated going back to the state water board to seek a reduction in the interest rate of our SRF loan that funds some half of this project. And I believe that your board's endorsement of our efforts would be a major positive in getting that accomplished. That could mean significant, obvious savings to the ratepayers in this particular zone. So I understand your board's desire to maintain control, and in my previous testimony, I've laid out exactly where that control then shifts to the county. I can again assure you we have a will to make this happen. We have an excellent legal department, and we are not going to let this slip. I can speak more to that authority, more to the issue of developing the rules and regulations. Those, I think, are more procedural in terms of how we get there, how we get to implement those tools, and I could also speak in some detail to the reasons that your staff lays out for your carrying these orders on, and I think I have good arguments to the contrary of each one of those. I thank you.
Thank you. I think some of my fellow board members had questions. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you for coming today. So sure. How many supervisors are there?
There are five.
Five. So I am always impressed with your passion for our mission.
Absolutely.
But and I hear exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
But would I know elections change personalities on the supervisors, but would fair assessment too that the other four supervisors would share your passion and direction in this item?
Absolutely. I don't have the number exactly, but I would imagine we have held 50 votes in session in the seven, almost 8 years that we've been working on this project. I can recall 3 no votes among, so take of 200 votes cast or 250 votes cast, I can count in my mind 3 no's. Our board has been unified. We understand the problem. We understand the benefit to the community of getting this done. I think there is no question.
And so one of my concerns would be that, just as you mentioned, that even though it's a small group of people have these given anxiety-based letters hanging over their heads, we're trying to maintain some type of process that keeps nudging everybody towards the end result. And if those were to pull back, I mean, my feeling right now is it'd be silly to pursue the same path in the future then, but it should actually jump to something that's much tougher, maybe an ACL, where there's actually dollars at risk there. Would you foresee any problem supporting that if for some reason you were put in a position that you actually took steps and you still had property owners refusing to hook up, and the water board came back and said, we're going to take even more drastic steps than what was there before?
I tend to avoid hypotheticals, but that one's a pretty easy one. You know, our county is sworn, I am sworn to uphold, various constitutions and also the ordinances of the county. So if we were having trouble getting someone connecting, we would be more than happy for the assistance of your board.
Perfect.
And whatever you could bring to the table, we would be happy to work with.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hunter?
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. And we appreciate your ability to help us understand the board's, this Board of Supervisors' work in pulling this project forward. But there are a number of issues here today, and I'm relieved to see this issue come before us once again to revisit and look at it in a different light. And in particular, I'm glad you raised the potential benefit of signaling and encouraging other agencies to take a look at how this project is going forward and the work that's gone into it and where the community stands with that today. In a related context, I recall when this project was being reviewed through, in particular in the Planning Commission, in their review, and I raise this because I understand that the county will not participate tomorrow in our discussion on the groundwater basin. The Planning Commission created a $5 million conservation program, which I'm currently, at this point, I'm not aware that anything has happened with that fund. I'm not sure why, but it was part of the wastewater design, an effort to recognize the link between wastewater and water supply. And can you please help me understand why the delay has occurred in implementing something I think would be relatively straightforward?
Well, I guess I don't see that a delay has occurred. You know, the retrofitting of the houses is to low flow devices, reaching a target of 50 gallons per capita per day indoor use is a condition of cooking up to the wastewater project. We have a mandatory hookup requirement. So there are absolute ironclad guarantees that water conservation, the 50 gallons per capita per day indoors, is going to be required. The Planning Commission picked that number out of the air, multiplying $5,000 by $1,000, and said this is what you shall spend. We have been active in spending it. We have a retrofit program that has been underway. We have rebates that are based on that funding that have been applied to many hundreds, if not many thousands, in fact, of the necessary fixtures that we need to retrofit. It turns out that a goodly portion of the community is already retrofit. And we, you know, this is a bit off topic as regards the CDOs. We receive, you know, a constant low level of criticism about what we're doing and what we're not doing. But again, the nexus of that conservation program is to the wastewater facility, mm-hmm. and it is to indoor water use. Mm-hmm. The county is not a water purveyor in the community of Los Osos. Mm-hmm. And so I think one can reasonably ask the three water purveyors, two of them large, one of them very small, what they have done in terms of conservation, and they can get at issues regarding outdoor water conservation, which is about 30% of the potable water consumption within the community. So I do not agree with the premise that nothing has been done. I don't agree with the premise we've been moving too slowly. We have been outreaching and making every effort to get this to get these retrofits done. We look forward to future efforts to bring this basin back into balance. Again, not the topic of the day here. The county won't be participating tomorrow because that effort is a matter of litigation, and so our discussions of that have been held closed session. I would have uncharacteristically little to say should I appear at this item tomorrow.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and that is why I took the opportunity to talk with you about something that does touch and was part of the consideration of this project. I just wonder one more thing. I appreciate your time.
Sure.
In the copy of the county ordinance, there is Exhibit A and Exhibit B,
right.
And I'm not clear on what the difference is in that, and there's no real explanation on that. Could you quickly help me understand?
This ordinance is our rates and charges, and so Exhibit A is the sewer service rates for residential customers, non-residential customers. Let me see what we might have. What would be the difference from that?
Harvey, do you have any? Why was this included? I don't understand.
Let me, if Harvey can.
I included the full.
This is the full.
Ordinance, just for board information. I haven't analyzed it in detail.
So there are rates. These are actually rates that go together. Exhibit A is part of section 3A, and exhibit B, undeveloped or underdeveloped properties shall pursue exhibit B. So there's just a difference in the different properties that those rates would apply to.
Oh, I see. So B applies to undeveloped.
As I just read, and again, and I'm just reading out of the ordinance here, section 7 on page 4. Section 3 on page 2.
On page 2, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. That's it for me.
And thank you, Dr. Hunter. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, just one question. I want to address myself to what you said in your remarks about your hopes that should we terminate the CDOs, that it would assist your efforts to renegotiate the interest rate on the loan and this would benefit ratepayers. My question is, what's the mechanism for it benefiting ratepayers? Would it lower the rates in those appendix A and B if the interest rate changed on the loan?
So the nature of this rates and charges ordinance is we set out the maximum that's available to be charged. We had to go through a Proposition 218. These are maximum rates. What gets charged depends on water use within each individual property, but also our total cost of the project. And just like buying a home or financing a car, the financing terms are a very large part of the ongoing costs of funding this. So should the interest rate be lowered, our costs and debt service would be lowered. That would automatically lower those rates, because we can only charge what we need to service the debt and provide for the operations and maintenance.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your
yes,
Mr.
Gibson.
Jeffrey.
Sir, before you leave, and I appreciate your commitment and your passion on this item, but I must remind you, and I'm sure you're well aware, that many years ago that we tried to encourage the county to step up to the plate and do this very same thing that you're doing now. The only way that we got the county's attention, because that was probably some of your no votes, they didn't really want to do anything with the Los Osos. And so we had to enact issues against your library and your fire department to get the county to move in that correct direction. And of course, then the CSD was initiated and so forth. But now the county is responsible because of legislation assigning you this particular issue. So I just want to bring up some of that history of Los Osos, and I don't know if you were part of it. I don't know if you were a supervisor at that time. This has been many years ago. We had to do those actions, which we all reluctantly did at that time, but that was the only way that we could get the county's attention that we had a problem. So I appreciate your concerns, and you answered, and I asked you this, I think the same question about, I think somebody else asked the same question earlier, I think the chair did, about the county developing rules and regulations. And I'm pleased to hear what you had to say, and also the staff has looked into it and backed up your claims that the county does have availability to take action. So I appreciate your concern, and I appreciate you being here for today.
Thank you, Mr. If I might, through the chair, Mr. Jeffries, thank you for those comments. In fact, I was not a supervisor at the time the county had this project the first time around. The county got this project through the legislation AB 2701 on the day that I took office in 2007, after clear assurances from my predecessor that I wouldn't have to worry about this particular project. It has been my pleasure to pursue it, and I don't want to get into the back and forth about what we are going to do or could do or should do, but I, in this instance, am fond of quoting Winston Churchill, who said, something to the effect that Americans will do the right thing after they've exhausted all other options.
Well, thank you. So we do have speaker cards, and I would like to have Shauna Sullivan please come and testify.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. My name is Shauna Sullivan, and I have been sworn in. I live in Los Osos. I work in Los Osos. I'm an attorney who has donated over 2,000 hours of legal services fighting these unfair and unprecedented orders. I want to thank this board for setting this hearing today to revisit these orders. It is past time to finally get rid of these punitive orders threatened and issued to coerce a favorable 218 vote to pay for the community system. If it was not approved on that vote, the order requires that cessation of septic tanks be as of January 1, 2011. That is a long time ago and totally unrealistic, but that's in the order. Staff maintains these orders require compliance with the basin plan prohibition on waste discharges by requiring hookup to the community system. But this claims based on the false premise that the community wastewater system and treatment plant comply with 8313. Resolution 8313 is a zero discharge ban. It prohibits any discharge from any community or individual system. So the fact is this entire project required an exemption from 8313. So we have people who are being penalized for not complying with 8313 to hook up to a system that doesn't hook up, doesn't comply with 8313. The reason we need to have discharge is quite evident from some of the other topics that you're going to be addressing during this these 2 days, and that's the recharge of the basin. It's absolutely essential that we have a recharge of the basin. In fact, in 1991, the recycling acts were adopted that required recharge and recycling of wastewater. So these orders issued without any ability of the people forced or issued these orders to even address Resolution 8313. As evident, let me go on to say, these randomly selected individuals should not have to suffer years of continued anguish for these orders expressly enforcing or enforceable by criminal and civil penalties. The emotional and financial toll on these randomly selected citizens is inexcusable. Also inexcusable is that we as taxpayers will share paying the Attorney General's bill of just under $594,000 to keep these orders in place. That does not include your staff time or the staff time of the State Water Board or the Chief Counsel's time or the attorney's fees that were incurred by your board and the State Board in pursuing these orders. That expense is ridiculous. As taxpayer, I object to having that, us all being subjected to that waste of money. That money could have gone to so much more. So I request that you terminate them and consider modifying or getting rid of 8313, please. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Chuck Ciesena.
Good morning, Chair Wolf and fellow board members. My name is Chuck Ciesena, resident of Los Osos, and I was a member of the Los Osos Community Service Board of Directors when these cease and desist orders were issued. So I'm very familiar with the effect they've had on the community. And I'd like to say really the effect has been on the recipients only. If somehow, and I wish Mr. Young was here because he issued the absolute definitive statement for why they were issued. We were going to teach you people how to vote. Some of the most chilling words I've ever heard issued, uttered by a government authority, going to teach us how to vote. We didn't really need to be taught how to vote. Every assessment that's been before the voters has passed. There's been one vote that did not pass in all that time. And that was a referendum on a project that morphed from the Ponds of Avalon to a completely buried odor scrub facility to an above-ground membrane bioreactor that couldn't be hidden except with a 30-foot-tall wave wall. And at that point, the community said, enough, deception has happened. We're not going to allow that. And then we voted for the assessment after that. So whether you think that Chairman Young and ex-Chairman Young issuing these orders taught us how to vote or not, we have done the right thing. And so I urge you to rescind these orders. The county has a mechanism in place to take care of scofflaws that don't want to hook up. I'm pretty well connected in the community. I don't know everyone, but I have not heard the slightest hint from anyone about not being interested in hooking up. This war is over. We want to comply. We want these things gone. If you ever thought that having orders on this smaller percentage of the community was going to make a difference, I don't know why that would be. Most people may be sympathetic, but it doesn't affect them. Those are orders given to somebody else, so they're not going to vote any way or another because of how it would affect somebody else. It's just, it was never effective. Your own process showed that. You were going to have orders issued to the whole community. That was just impossible. It was too cumbersome a process. So let's put an end to it. And you have the enforcement mechanism still in the future. You can use those if that situation arises, and I really don't think it will. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment.
Yes, I was sworn in. Thank you.
Yes. Elizabeth Allaby, please.
Elizabeth Allaby. I'm a resident of Los Osos and a homeowner. And my cease and desist order number is 1019. Board members, it has been almost 8 years since your agency adopted my cease and desist order. Many times I have been here and asked for the CDOs to be removed to no avail. I have complied paying my sewer taxes and pumping every 3 years. Mr. Harvey Parker is listing all kinds of reasons to keep the CDOs enforced. If this happens, if, I am tired of being held as a hostage for a situation I have no power over. Please rescind the cease and desist orders. Thank you.
Excuse me, were you sworn in?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Moylan would like to take some of my minutes because I haven't used them all.
We'll transfer the credits to you.
Thank you.
So thank you for your comment. Mr. Moylan, please. And so
I just have a little bit to talk about.
Do not hurt yourself.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of going to hurt you.
And I'm giving you 4 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay.
My name is Bill Moylan. I live in Los Osos. I have been sworn in. With regard to my wife's and my CDO, the employment of it since 2006 has never been equitable and continues to be inequitable. There are approximately 4,450 homes in the prohibition zone, each one on a septic system discharging into the state's waters equally. Only 32 of these 4,450 homes have a CDO or a CAO. My wife and I have spent thousands of dollars complying with the requirements of our CDO. We have also spent countless hours defending ourselves to this water board that has turned a deaf ear to our rational arguments. We have slept, eaten, and drunk the inequity of our CDO for 8 years. This is 8 years of communication from the water board. Do you think I'm anxious about it? I've been anxious about it. 8 years, right here, about 30 pounds. According to your own water quality enforcement policy, there should be fair, firm, and consistent enforcement of standard enforceable orders. Your own water quality enforcement policy also states when the circumstances of a discharge are similar, then the provisions of the enforcement orders should be comparable. It is quite apparent that the Central Coast Water Board is deliberately not following its own stated policy. Mr. Packard cites three reasons for leaving the 32 enforcement orders in place. His first two reasons stretch the bounds of belief and do not warrant a reply. but I will address Mr. Packard's third stated reason, which is simply specious. Mr. Packard states that there may be discharges in the prohibition zone who are reluctant to hook up, and leaving the orders in place would serve as a disincentive for order recipients to continue violating the prohibition after construction of the sewer system. This third reason fails to address the other 4,412 households who do not have a CDO or this disincentive. It makes no sense to target only 38 out of 4,412 households with CDOs. If you really want to be fair, firm, and consistent, you will not even consider leaving these 38 enforcement orders in place. I recall when Bruce Gibson was asked about the failure rate of the people of Los Osos to pay their new slow ad sewer tax of $1,422 a year, Mr. Gibson said he had not heard of anyone in Los Osos failing to pay the new tax. To me, that non-existent failure rate is indicative of the number of people who will fail to hook up to the sewer. San Luis Obispo also has County Ordinance 3209, which makes it mandatory to hook up to the sewer when it is completed, with liens and penalties for those who fail to hook up. Be fair, firm, and consistent. Treat us as you have treated the other 99% of the homeowners of the prohibition zone. Terminate the 38 Los Osos enforcement orders. And if you do decide to terminate, please don't send us a letter saying you're going to get us if we don't hook up. Send everyone a letter saying you're going to get them if they don't hook up. Thank you. Let me get my hernia back in order.
Thank you for your comment. And before moving into final deliberation, I would like a clarification from counsel. If any of the current cases in litigation have an impact on, Los Osos item at hand.
Yeah, there are two items that specifically deal with it, items 4 and item 6. Item 6 actually was dismissed in March, so that's a case that's no longer at issue. And item 4 we will actually be discussing today in closed session, but it deals with Measure B, the validity of Measure B, and has no balance or relevance to this issue.
Thank you for your clarification, counsel. So deliberation, do we have any comments that you'd like?
Well, thank you. And I'm going to keep my comments short because I believe that most of you know my work in the region of Los Osos as well as Morro Bay generally. A member of many different efforts to protect Morro Bay, but at the same time worked very hard to help my neighbors and community at large to understand options and processes for moving forward. On the prior round to this, I was recused from discussing this matter, but at this point in time, I can comment. And I just want to thank the board for bringing this matter back to a hearing to reconsider or at least consider the changes that have occurred, where we stand now, and the just very unfortunate process that left 32 of my neighbors and 32 law-abiding homeowners and citizens who've contributed greatly to their community in a position where they are being held accountable for actions that they actually have no way to accomplish. I'm looking forward to hearing from other board members, but I do feel that the circumstances have changed so dramatically in the right direction that these CDOs have no value at this point to us. I think looking forward is important. I think Mr. Gibson's comments that this board does need to signal that we have seen the progress going in the right direction, that we recognize and will partner with the county in the hookup process, which is yet before us. I also just want to thank Ms. Sullivan for her work, because with her effort, and I recall Daniel Press, who was a former board member of this panel, at a time when I was not able to speak, did raise issues that questioned the penalties that were being invoked through the CDOs, which at $5,000 a day from 1983 would far, far exceed the value of any home in Los Osos. And board member Daniel Press, who is an environmental scientist at UC Santa Cruz, really was the one that turned the dialogue to really look at the situation in a different light. And I believe that was another factor in slowing down the issuance, continuing issuance of CDOs. I want to apologize just because I understand the emotional distress. I've seen it, I've heard it, and I've encountered it. I've lived with many folks. So I want to apologize for that distress, and I am sorry that the county and the board had to take this action. We took the action that we, I wasn't part of the vote, but the action was taken, as Mr. Jeffries noted, for good reason. And unfortunately, the citizens were caught in that process. So I look forward to this discussion, and I'm also looking forward to the additional work now that we see before us in managing the basin and in considering how the recycling of wastewater, and I appreciate the oxymoron of the term wastewater, as pointed out by the board chair, Chair Wolf. We're in a different era, and in this era, we really have a different set, a different frame, a different set of boundaries, and also a different set of interconnected issues. We must be integrated in our thinking and devising solutions that meet multiple needs, that have multiple benefits, multiple outcomes, that are both environmental and economic, as well as socially sensitive. So I thank the patience of the board. I'm sure they know I've been waiting a long time to speak on this issue from this panel. So thank you.
Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple more questions. So Harvey, if these were to be rescinded today and the project was completed, and the concerns I have about the county, either that they had some stragglers that didn't want to hook up because of the cost, and they were reluctant politically to go through the process, the legal process of filing a lawsuit or placing a lien on the house, what would be our, you list a whole bunch of options here, but what would be our best and most effective choice at that time for a resolution option?
Well, the enforcement policy does talk about a progressive enforcement viewpoint. So I think we'd have to start with notification first, notices of violation, make sure that the property owners we're talking about are aware of their obligations and aware of the board's authority to enforce those obligations. What the next step would be is, you know, I'm not sure. I mentioned here you can go straight to a penalty. You could go to an intermediate step, such as a cleanup and abatement or a cease and desist order. You know, they have various, some are more easy to implement than others. I think it would depend on how many people we're talking about. If we're talking about 5 or 10 stragglers, it may be fairly simple to go straight to an ACL or a penalty.
And if you went to an ACL, that's obviously a template I haven't seen, but there's a template process for that one.
There is a process for determining the amount of the penalty.
And there, you know, somebody mentioned $5,000 a day, but there's other considerations that could be put into that template to drive the process, make it meaningful, mm-hmm. and get a response, but not $5,000 a day, right?
Right. $5,000 a day is the maximum that the water code allows. It certainly doesn't have to be the maximum.
Okay. And do you know, off the top of your head, I looked again really quick. I meant to ask this at the pre-brief too, but is there an approximate cost per hookup, or is it site-specific, or?
I have heard numbers. I can't remember details, but I'm guessing it's somewhere in the range of $2,000 to $5,000.
Okay.
$4,000 to $10,000, says Mr. Right. Moylan.
So it's not small change. It's a little higher than that $1,400 example earlier. So I am going to get to the same place Dr. Hunter is, but I kind of have a different perspective. I agree that this has been unfair. I don't think it's been inappropriate. I think all 4,400 plus people are discharging illegally, and their characterization over this period of time as lawful inhabitants could have been resolved with the worst part of that discharge by just putting a porta potty in their front yard, which doesn't sound like a viable alternative, but that would have solved the problem during the period of time. And so we're struck with this contradiction of this huge problem with all these players and the unfairness of just CDOs to 32 people. But what's taken place over the period of time, of course, is just further degradation to that particular watershed. I have concerns about the county, the political realities of if you get to that point and you have 20 or 10 stragglers, and if you really want, in the resources you have available, if you really want to task your district attorney with the lengthy and expensive process of taking each one of those to court. I also have concerns over the mentions of extensions in there in the ordinance that aren't really spelled out as to what reason they could be for. And whether those would be contradictory to our perception of what an extension should be given for. If it's just too expensive, is that a good reason? I don't know. You've had plenty of time to worry about this to put yourself in a point to anticipate this. But I am encouraged by Supervisor Gibson's assurances. I would support the rescission of the CDOs with a couple suggestions, and one would be one suggestion that a public speaker had, and that's not just simply there would be a notice to the CDO holders, but I think a notice should also go to the entire 4,450 users on where we've been, where we've ended up, and what our expectations are in the future. That our expectations clearly are that you follow the county process and timeline for hookups, and that we lay out what will happen if you don't, that we will be back at your door with a process that will probably be more, that in my opinion should be more painful than a CDO to get you to comply at that time. I think that would be the most fair. I think that would be the most educational from that standpoint to warn people that we have pulled those orders, and we will have the avenue to come back if the county does not follow through on it. And if they do, we all just back up and take a breath and say thanks. So I'd be interested in hearing what the other board members think about the noticing and the follow-up to the entire body of users.
Mr. Johnston?
Well, as one of the witnesses said today, the war is over. I think the war has been to establish an appropriate waste treatment plant for Los Osos. It's gone on, 25 years, 28 years? And probably the biggest, I think, if like a lot of wars, if the residents had it to do again, if the county had it to do it again, perhaps if the board had to do it again, there are things that would have been done differently. Probably the biggest tragedy is that this didn't get done while there were big-time federal funds available to bear a lot of the cost of it. But we are where we are now. And given the state of the construction of the collection system and treatment plant, given the ordinance the county has passed, given the powers that we retain to enforce compliance, I see no reason at all not to support the termination of these cease and desist orders. There's still plenty of problems to be solved in Los Osos. I still anticipate seeing Los Osos residents at these meetings because there's still big problems with the groundwater, with the stuff we're going to be talking about tomorrow. But this is a big step. And as far as Mr. Jordan's suggestions on notice, I would be open to that. I'm not sure if the appropriate time is now or when the maybe it is now, or when the system is actually ready to be connected to. I'm going to support the motion.
I would like at this time to have Mr. Harris and perhaps staff, if needed, to respond to the suggestion that was made by Mr. Jordan.
My personal opinion at this point, without giving it further thought, is mailing such letters, one, there's a cost to us, and does take time, and mailing 4,400 letters is not cheap. I think that Mr. Johnson may have hit on what is the appropriate time. I wonder, given the testimony today, whether or not it is even necessary to do that. Certainly, we have lots of recourse, lots of options in our toolbox to address the issue if it does arise. And I think part of the, one thing that comes out of rescinding these orders, I think, is a goodwill gesture from the board. And I'm concerned that if you send the letters, you've sort of negated that. After you voted to rescind it, then we kind of go back at them again. So I think there's a time and a place for that. I'm just not sure, as Mr. Johnson said, now is the correct time for it.
Thank you. Mr. Packard, any additional input you would like to provide the board at this time?
I don't think so. Okay. I agree with what Mr. Harris is saying about the notice.
All right. So, well, hold on. Thank you. My view, and I will not repeat what has been said, but I look at today as being a new day. And I look at today as being, a next milestone in the progress toward correcting concerns with the Los Osos groundwater basin. As it was stated earlier, we have other issues that eventually will have to be dealt with. The recycled water, to further maximize that once the plant is in operation, and then, of course, seawater intrusion. So this is a very important phase, and I personally agree with my fellow board members that, it's time to turn the page, and that's basically the summary of my view. So I certainly would be very supportive to terminate the cease and desist order. I also do not feel at this time sending a mass mailing is really gonna enhance the process. If anything, it might actually have an unintended consequence of clouding the issue. So that's my wrap-up comment. We've been going back and forth, but I know this subject is dear to your heart, so I will give you one more chance of having a last comment, and then I would like to move this into...
we get a chance to talk?
Of course, yeah. I thought we were... Go ahead.
I just have one quick comment on the notion of Mr. Jordan's suggestion on the notice. I agree. Two things. Cost, big deal. And so that, to me, knocks it out. But more important, the irony is, I think Mr. Moore stated earlier that in many communities, not only do they not know what the state board is and that it exists. The same goes in the regions, but I assure you all that Los Osos is not one of those communities. They are very aware of the Regional Water Board. They understand the authority of the Regional Water Board. There is no need to go to the level of issuing a notice, reminding them that we still have, you know, these tools to come after them should they not cooperate. But that's just my an aside. Thank you.
Welcome. And Mr. Jeffrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's been some alluding to time. I've been on this board for almost 22 years, and this issue was longstanding before I ever arrived. And so it's been ongoing for probably 30-some years, and I think it's time to bring it to a halt. I too, would be inclined to support the resolution of terminating the cease and desist. I think it's time. I think the Mr. Supervisor Gibson's, as I said earlier, his commitment, his passion has proven to support the efforts of this board. I believe that we have a lot of enforcement tools that we can use if some folks are reluctant to hook up after the county has exhausted their ways of handling their enforcement, that we could assist them. And probably, and most likely, that the individuals that we have these orders on probably would not be the ones that we would be going after if there were people reluctant to hook up at that particular time. So I think it's, you know, it's time that we move on. The county is way ahead on building the facilities and putting the infrastructure in. And I think that these folks should have some idea of where they stand for the future. So, Mr. Chair, I would it would be a pleasure of mine to introduce the resolution of 2014-0051 when it's appropriate for action.
Okay.
And my only question is to make sure that the motion clarifies what will go in the notice.
The what will go in the notice, I think, is purview of legal counsel.
In the resolution, it essentially says that the orders are terminated and no longer necessary. So that's the notice would say that the residents would no longer have to comply with the CDOs.
Okay, I understand that. There's been a lot of discussion whether it would talk about the potential future process. And so I just want to make sure the motion clarifies if there's anything else besides what Jessica just said.
All right, so I'd like to entertain a motion that would be in addition to council answer to Mayor Delgado. If there is any further clarification on the motion, you know, please say so.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that on R3-2014-0051 would adopt the resolution to terminate and cease desist orders.
Please. I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And for the record, unanimous. And you do have who was on first and second? All right, very good. So thank you very much. This item has been successfully addressed. I'd like to thank all of you residents of Los Osos, you know, for coming today, taking your time, and further helping us in making a decision here. Mr. Harris?
I just want to thank Harvey for all of his hard work on this issue over the years. We don't take things personally, but I do want to acknowledge that staff work for the board, and unfortunately, this issue sort of stuck with Harvey, and he's taken it with his chin up and with a smile on his face, so I just want to acknowledge his great work through this whole process.
Well, I agree with you, Mr. Harris, and, you know, with my moving fourth year on the board, this topic has always been emotionally, you know, very sensitive, so, you know, realize that. But as I said, today is a new day, so thank you very much. We will now take the opportunity of being noon to take our lunch break and council.
I just have to announce closed session. We will be discussing item 4 in closed session today.
And we
and personnel.
And we will reconvene at 1 o'clock. And thank you very much.